Let's see how we get purified today. We're going to get purified. Y'all need purification. And the only way you can get purification is through the blood of the unblemished sacrifice. Ezekiel 18, verse 20 says, the person who sins will die. I think it even says that in the New Testament. The wages of sin is... Deuteronomy 12, 23 says, do not eat the blood. Blood is the life, so there must be blood shed. We must have faith that God will accept a substitute for our sins. Someone else to die for us, or something else to die for us. And so, in order to do this purification, you have to go through what is known as a seven-day process. Seven-day process must be completed because the number seven is the number of completion. Well, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that your body is your temple. And the temple, well, that's the place where God dwells. In ancient Israel, it was the tabernacle and then the temple in Jerusalem. And now it's in your body. This is where God dwells now. You may not think that's a big deal, but this is your body and God is in there. And He's dwelling there. Well, how do we get that purification that we need? Well, there's a couple of steps you got to do. And the first step is called repentance. And repentance leads to obedience. You can't just come up and say, well, I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and He's going to save me and I'm a happy little guy. I don't have to do nothing else except receive Him and sit here, bad, dumb, and happy. Well, that's not what it says in the Bible. In John 14, verses 5 through 23, it says, if you love me, you love God, if you love Him, you will obey me. And I will ask the Father to give you another counselor, and He will be with you forever. So you have to love God. You have to ask. You have to obey Him. And then if you obey Him, then He will give you the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. So how do you get the Holy Spirit? Not by saying, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. No, you obey God. Okay, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The second step is called holiness. And holiness means set apart for Him. Leviticus 19, verse 2 says, be holy because I am holy. Joshua 24 says, choose whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? Okay, and then there's a third step that has to come in. It says that the sin debt that you have got to be paid. Right? And so in the old days, it was the sacrifice of an animal. And then eventually it led to Yeshua. But the blood ultimately must come from the unblemished. Isaiah 53 said, He was pierced for our iniquities, so He was our unblemished. And Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to read you all of this, verses 11 through 28. Hebrews chapter 9, if you want to go there. I'll give you a minute to get there. Let's read it together. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will be the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God? Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since the death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. So if you make a covenant, you have to die. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment has been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both of the tabernacles and the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the Torah, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself. That's where he went. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without references to sin to those who eagerly await him. It's a powerful section of Hebrews. In Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. That's what the verse says. He believed in a promised son. He believed that there would be one. Galatians 2:16 says, man is not justified by works, but by faith. You can't do anything to get saved. There's nothing you can do. John 3:16 says, God loved us so much that he gave up his son. Yeshua dies once for all of us, according to Hebrews 10:14. You know, on the 10th day of Nisan, in the month that's coming up, we call it April or March, the 10th day of Nisan begins the period known as Passover. And on the 10th day of Nisan, you're to take a lamb, and you're to inspect it for 4 days, and to ensure that there is no defect. And on the 14th day of Nisan, slaughter it and then apply the blood to the doorposts and lintels of your home. Isn't that interesting? I just said the 10th day of Nisan and the 14th day of Nisan. 10:14. Didn't I just read you Hebrews 10:14? What did it say? Yeshua dies once for all of us. Obviously a coincidence. God numbered the Bible before it was numbered. Yeah, so for 4 days, we're to keep this lamb, look at it, make sure there's no defects, nothing wrong with it. And it goes, bah, what it's supposed to. And then on the 14th, we're going to slaughter it, cut its throat, and apply the blood to the doorposts and lintels of our houses. You know, those who did that were called obedient ones. And you know what? Those who did that were saved. Now, how many people today would actually do that? I mean, you're sitting in your home watching the NFL today, and all of a sudden, you get this phone call. Go out and kill a lamb and put it on the blood on the doorposts of your house. Well, I've seen your houses, and some of you don't want to put blood on your doorposts and lintels of your house because it'll kill the neighborhood values, wouldn't it? In fact, we have covenants where I live in Turtle Creek that specifically disallow that kind of thing. Animal sacrifice in your backyard. But what if you were told to do that? Would you do that? How would you know if you're watching the NFL today that that was God? What if Terry Bradshaw told you that? It was all of a sudden he's talking about, you know, Mark Sanchez and how he sucks as a quarterback. And then all of a sudden he stops, read a little track, and he says, you're to take a lamb and kill it and put blood on the doorposts and lintels of your house. I mean, God would do something like that, wouldn't he? While you're watching TV. Man, how many of you would really be obedient? Not too many, I see. We wouldn't. We would say, that is the weirdest thing I ever heard. Weirdest thing I ever saw. I mean, it's like this morning I woke up, I went out to get my newspaper, 6:30 in the morning, was it? And I get outside and there's three police cars in front of my house with the red lights going all around, and there's this car with the doors open and the hood up and the trunk up and this guy standing like this. And I say, is that Jesus on the cross or is that a prisoner? These cops are all, three police cars in Ralston. I don't think Ralston has three police cars. And they're all in front of my house at 6:30 in the morning. Man. I didn't believe that was true. And I just went back inside and shut the door. I'm going to read this paper. Maybe it'll be in there. I mean, who is obedient to those things? I mean, so what? What would have happened if you didn't put the blood on the doorposts and lintels of your house on that night on Passover? You would have, well, your firstborn son, which is moi, I am a firstborn son. How many of you are firstborn sons? Yeah, no women. Women are not firstborn sons. Much as we try, it's impossible. We would have died, all of us, and I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, nobody be running this congregation anymore. So the obedient ones, they were saved. So how do you get saved then? I just told you. No. By being obedient, by doing what God said. And if you were watching the NFL today and Terry Bradshaw told you that, you probably would have laughed and said, that wasn't God, that was Terry Bradshaw. Yeshua entered Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, the same day they selected their lambs. And all were looking for fault in him, but guess what? According to this Gentile guy, Pontius Pilate, there was no fault found in him. So that means he was unblemished, is the word I was using. Perfect in every way. And on the 14th day, he was killed. 10:14. He was killed. He was in the grave. And then he rose 3 days later on the 17th day. How many days is it from the 10th day of Nisan to the 17th day? 7 days. A complete process. I told you, you have to do a 7-day period. So the fourth step must be completed. It's a 7-day process. From the 10th to the 17th, we have 7 days, and we have a completed purification process. So, you're saying, well, I've been reading Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 48, and when Yeshua returns, there's going to be sacrifices in the future temple where he is residing. I thought Yeshua did away with all the sacrifices. Everybody tells me that anyway. And I say, no. Read Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. Because in there, why will there be sacrifices if Yeshua has already fulfilled them? Well, if you compare the tabernacle and the third temple, the third temple is the Ezekiel temple, you will see that in the third temple, there's only one item that's talked about in those 8 chapters, the altar. All the other stuff is gone. Where is it? Where'd it go? Our bodies are this temple now. They have the missing pieces. We have the light. We have the Spirit of God. Daniel 5:14 says, now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, And that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom has been found in you. That's what Daniel says. Don't you read Daniel? John 8:12. Then Yeshua again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. That's what you're supposed to do. We are a menorah. And how many branches does a menorah have? 7. A completed process. John 6:32-35, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, is it not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven? But it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus then said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will not thirst. So we are the showbread. We are the table of showbread now. The true bread is given to us. I am the bread. Our bodies house the bread. Didn't Yeshua say, take and eat? We're going to do that in a little while. This is my body, this bread. It's our body too, if we're with Yeshua. So we are the showbread. The true bread is given to us. I am the bread. Our bodies house the bread. Guess what else is also missing from the Ezekiel temple? The Ark of the Covenant. It's in some warehouse in New Mexico, according to Harrison Ford, but it's way in the back. I saw it. But it's not in the third temple, and it won't be there because it's stuck in that GSA bureaucracy. It's missing. Guess what? The Ten Commandments are gone, too. They're all gone. The covenant, the glory, and the mercy seat are all gone. They're not in the third temple. It's going to be an empty place, isn't it? Where are all these things? What happened to the commandments? Well, they got written on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:31-34 says, and I've said, read this a lot, but this is a beautiful passage to me. Behold, hine, right? Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That covers just about everybody. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. Although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my Torah within them, and on their hearts I'm going to write it. Man, you don't want ink on your heart, do you? And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Isn't that great? What you did yesterday that you sinned, he don't remember it. It's gone forever. The Ark of the Covenant is not in New Mexico or in a warehouse. It's in our hearts. The heavenly reality is now a physical reality within us. Man, when a Jew puts on the tefillin every morning, he puts on the Word of God on his arm, right next to his heart and right in his head between his eyes. He writes the Word on his body, and he actually spells the word Shaddai with the tefillin. And so he's got the Word physically on his body, and he has the heart right here. This part is reserved for the spiritual. That is God written on a Jewish person's body. Wow. Man, the ark is in our hearts. The heavenly reality is now a physical reality within us. The offerings in the third temple show our part of the covenant with God. We are to be living sacrifices according to Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And guess what Deuteronomy 10 says in verses 12 and 13. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. So, leaves us with one thing to talk about. All the offerings from Leviticus chapter 6. And you know what? They're all there in the temple, in the third temple, except for one. There's one missing. And it's the evening lamb sacrifice. There's a morning lamb sacrifice every day and an evening one. Well, evening one is not in the third temple. It's missing. MIA. Did Terry Bradshaw take it with him? No, there is a lamb offering in the morning. And this means, what does that mean to us? It means that we are to lay our lives down each day as a living sacrifice to God. That's what that sacrifice means. But Yeshua, our Passover lamb, took the sin away. And that's the evening lamb. And therefore, that one offering does not have to be done anymore because Yeshua replaced it. Hallelujah. We have reconciliation with God because the veil was torn in two. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Yeshua, and by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen.